Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you here. Appreciate your fine attendance thus far, this evening and this day, this beautiful Lord's Day. Appreciate the continuance of your attention as we continue on to worship our God and our Father. As we've done in prayer this evening, as we have done in lifting up songs of praise and singing from our heart, and we are going to continue that process of studying and worshiping and honoring our God and our Father by opening His Word. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the New Testament book of Matthew, this gospel account by the hand of Matthew. And in chapter 8, we are going to begin reading some of God's Word. As you look in Matthew and in chapter 8, we're at a point where Jesus has completed His Sermon on the Mount, where you can read about this in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And there in the beginning of Matthew and in chapter 8, we see where Jesus performs a miracle and heals a leper. And He also heals a servant of a certain centurion in Capernaum. We also read there in Matthew and chapter 8 where Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And the miracles were performed as people were brought to Him who were possessed of demons and were sick, and Jesus healed them. There also in Matthew chapter 8, we see where Jesus has decided to enter into a boat with His disciples to cross over the Sea of Galilee. Let us pick up that reading there in Matthew and chapter 8. And follow along with me beginning in verse 23. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23 says, "Now when He got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But He was asleep. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Lord, save us! We are perishing!' But He said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?'" We can read about this event in the life and the ministry of Jesus in Matthew's account, as well as in Luke and in Mark. So let's turn there and take a look at this from the hand and the account of Luke. Also in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we can read of this same event. There in Luke and in chapter 8, follow along with me and let's read this out of Luke's Gospel account beginning in verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 begins by saying, "Now it happened on a certain day that He got into a boat with His disciples, and He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For He commands even the winds and water, and they obey Him.'" As you may have thought, let's now look to the Gospel according to Mark. And in Mark and in chapter 4 is where we will spend a great deal of our time. Now looking at this third account from the third Gospel account in our New Testament. And in Mark and in chapter 4, this story begins late in that chapter in verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also around with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, what was the purpose of us reading all three of these accounts? You'll see a lot of similarities between all three. And yes, I would agree, in looking at all three of them together, we see the full picture, as full as we can, of this event that happened. And what we see here is an event of where Jesus is tired and he enters into the boat and he begins to begin to sleep, a time of very tiresome for him. Again, he had just given his Sermon on the Mount. He had just been teaching and healing and serving multitudes of people. And it was time for him to rest. They enter into the boat and he falls asleep. And amongst this travel across the Sea of Galilee, a great storm comes. And this was not just something to cause a little turbulent water. We see by looking at all three of his accounts that it was a tremendous storm. Waves and water crashing against the boat. These men who were with him were fearful of their life. They awoke him and said, Are you not concerned? We are going to perish. We see here that Jesus does awaken and that he speaks, and immediately the winds stop, the seas calm, and all is made well. Simply by Christ's hand and him speaking so. In looking at that, you can't help but point that this is a great example of Jesus' power, of the power that Christ has on the earth. Paralleled by no one. Only the power of God can command the wind and the seas and the nature. And yet this is a great example to show that Jesus is the Son of God. However, tonight, we're going to look through this at a different set of eyes. When we look at this account now, we see through the eyes of the disciples of how great and powerful Jesus was. And yet they were fearful, and he calmed the storms. But tonight I challenge you to look through the eyes of Jesus. What did Jesus see? He saw his disciples, his beloved, his followers. But what he truly saw was their lack of faith. And he mentions that in each and every one of these accounts. What is faith? Faith is something we see here that the disciples did not have. They were missing that faith. It said their faith was lacking. Well, if you might think, what is faith? It's very common to turn in your New Testament to Hebrews in chapter 11. And remember that verse number 1 of Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you feel so inclined that you turn into one of the common dictionary books that we may have at our fingertips, at our schools, at our libraries, at our homes, carrying the names of Webster's or of Vines or other dictionary resources, you may find something along the lines of faith is considered to be confidence or trust in someone or something. That's a fair definition of faith. But tonight, we are going to determine that faith is so much more than that. Oftentimes we use faith as a word to describe having a positive attitude, about looking on the bright side of things. If there's something that we're involved in and we want it to go well, we must have faith to have that positive outlook. I hope that my baseball team that I root for plays well today. And yet someone next to me say, well, if you're a true fan, you're going to have faith. You're going to have hope that they're going to win. And that's what's going to carry them to victory. Or you may think, oh, I sure hope that, you know, I do well on this test that's coming up today as I'm in school and I'm trying to do everything that I can, or I'm on the job in the workplace and, oh, I really hope that today's a good day. I want to have that positive attitude. And someone might come up to you and say, well, if you have faith that it's going to be a good day, you're going to have that positive outlook, then that's exactly what you have. Folks, don't get caught in that trap. It's much deeper than a positive attitude. It's more than just believing something will happen the way you want it to. Faith is much greater than that. I mean, oftentimes what we see here is a battle between our desires and our hopes of having that positive outlook. And it's battling against what is real. And what is real is God's will. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves for just a quick moment. Does God's will really apply to the outcome of a baseball game? Does it really apply to whether or not we get an A or a B or a C on a test in school? Does it really apply to whether we're going to have a good day at work or a very difficult day at work? My answer is no. It is not. God's will for us is not to satisfy our desires. God's will for us is to do right. It is to obey Him. After all, He knows what's best for us. We are to search out His will, to know that His will, whatever it might be, is what's best for us, no matter what we think. No matter what we are desiring or what we think is best for us, we are to cling to His will. Faith comes from believing, but believing is not all that is needed. Faith is believing beyond the shadow of a doubt that all will work out in the right way according to God's will. Faith does not change the will of God. God's will is real, it is right, and it is true. That's what we need to focus on. That's where faith comes into existence. Many people today believe. It's even taught out in the world today in various other circumstances that many think belief is enough. Belief is all that you need in order to enter into the grace of God and to receive a home in heaven. According to my study, it's not. It's not by belief alone. Belief is not enough. Belief without faith is empty, and faith without works is dead. If you study the New Testament, you will learn in many of these examples in the gospel and in letters that proceed, even the devil believes that Jesus was the Christ. Even the demons knew and called Him out by name, and that knew that Christ had power over them. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble, so it says in James chapter 2. That is also where you find that faith without works is dead. You can also look in Luke chapter 4 and learn of where it is recorded that the devil and the demons knew who Christ was. We can also find that a few pages over in Mark. Let's turn over a couple of pages which are in my Bible to Mark and in chapter 1. And let's look there beginning in verse 21 and see an example of, yes, even the demons believe, but that does not put them in grace with God. Mark, and in chapter 1, verse 21, begins by saying, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath He entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astounded at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with You, Jesus of Nazareth? Did You come to destroy us? I know who You are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For which authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Even the demons believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Belief is not enough. The disciples believed. At this point, where we go back to the account that we read earlier about the crossing over of the sea and the great torrential downpours that we're having and the tempest that was coming and the tossing and the turning of the boat, so much that these disciples were fearful of their life, they cried out to Him, "Are you not concerned, Master, that we are going to perish?" These are His closest. These are His strong followers. These are the men who have journeyed with Him from town to town, seeing, visually understanding the miracles that Jesus performs, that He truly is the Son of God. Yet, they lack in faith. They were scared. They believed, but their faith was weak. We must have faith. We must believe in the Son of God, and we must believe in the power that God has, and through His Son Jesus, how it affects and plays into our lives. But we must have faith that it is real, that it is true, and that it is what we desire, knowing that that's the only way to have the hope in heaven. What does faith really do? I'll tell you one thing faith does. It gives you what you need to accomplish what you cannot accomplish by yourself. Now, what I mean by that is think back to some of the stories that we can read in the Old Testament. Did you know it was faith that led Moses to build the ark, to survive the flood, the destruction of the world? It was faith that led him to do that. Faith and obedience to God. It was faith that led Joshua in the victory at Jericho. It was faith that led David to confront and defeat Goliath on the field of battle. A young boy did not have the advantage of superior weaponry or the art of battle. Yet he faced the greatest and grandest opponent that could ever have been on that battlefield. How did he defeat? Faith. His faith was in God. It was faith that led Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to defy the law of Nebuchadnezzar when it came in conflict with the law of God. They knew God would protect them. And whatever events they had to walk through or to go through, that God would be there with them. Whatever the outcome, they had faith that what was being done was right and according to God's will. Therefore, they stood up proudly and welcomed the wrath of this earthly king. That's what faith does. Faith gives us that determination to follow through with what God's will has for us. Still in Mark, let's turn back and look at chapter 5. We can go on and talk more and more about various people that we learn about in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, who put their faith in God and obeyed His commands. And that God's will played an important role in their life. And they were victorious because of that. Because of their faith. Because of their obedience. But there is one tonight that I would like to speak with you about that we read about in Mark and in chapter 5. This is an account that oftentimes, I believe, is overlooked. It's a nice story. It's a somewhat comforting story. But it's one tonight that I want to share with you by looking at it through the eyes of faith. In Mark and in chapter 5, look beginning in verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But His disciples looked and said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." The story of a woman and the affliction that she had, where she had sought out any and all means of curing this problem that she had of her physical body. She had sought out all physicians and medical assistance that was in her grasp. She had spent everything she had to solve this problem, this unsurmountable issue that she had. Yet when she heard that the Son of God was coming, she knew in her heart that He could heal her. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said there in verse 28, "If only I may touch His clothes, I could be made well. I might be made well." No! She says, "I shall be made well." Her faith was in Christ, knowing that He could heal her. There was no question in her mind. Yes, she believed, and she believed in Him and the healing power that He has as being the Son of God, but she had faith that it would follow through. We read on and learn that God, or Jesus, does say, "By your faith you have been healed." Now don't misunderstand. It was the power of God through Jesus that healed her. No one else could have. She could not heal herself. It's not as if she could walk over to a man who had been with Jesus before and touch His garment. No. It was Christ that had the power. And it was her faith that knew she would be healed. When we look at this example of this woman, I can't help but think of the tragedy and the torment that she had been living with. Mark records for us there that it was some 12 years that she had had this affliction. One that she had spent her livelihood and her time and all of her humble means and wealth to fix, to solve. She had exhausted everything. Yet she had faith that she could be healed, that she would be healed, that she shall be healed. And that is exactly what we have recorded for us in Mark's account. Think about what she had to go through. Think about the battles that she had been battling, the fights that she had to fight, the things that she had to adjust her life in order to just claim victory over this that oppressed her. Much like the disciples. Much like what we read about earlier, about the travel over the sea where they were amongst a storm that was tossing them to and fro, and how frantic and how upset and how distraught they would have been, thinking that they would surely perish. To them it was a matter of life or death. I think to this woman it could be considered a matter of life or death. How does that compare to what I'm going through tonight? How does that compare to any of us and what we're dealing with in our lives tonight. No matter what it is that we are facing, no matter what it is with us that we may be facing in an affliction to ourselves or to those loved ones next to us, no matter what kind of storm we may be raging through, whether it be at our home or in our schools or in our places of work, no matter what that issue might be, how strong is your faith in God? How strong is your faith? When you look at your faith tonight, do you see your faith to be lined up more so with the disciples? Those who believe, yet lack in faith? That when storms of life come about, when troubles come and things are not easy, where the seas are rough and tossing and turbulent, do you turn to the side and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Surely I will perish. Surely this will be the end of me. Surely I have no direction to go. How will I ever survive what I'm going through? Or when you look at the storms of which you are a part of right now, do you have faith like this woman? The faith that says, it's not a matter of if, it's not a matter of maybe, it is a fact that yes, through faith in God, I will survive what I'm in the midst of. We see many examples here in the Bible of those who have great faith and those who have less than great faith. Tonight we're to use that as a tool. Where is our faith? Is our faith in the hands of man? Who in this case, the woman, could not find the physician that could help her with this issue. No matter what she did, no matter what she tried. If she put her faith in the methods of man, I don't know that we would read of her story. I think she may have been a statistic. She would have been one of those that were just written down possibly in a journal somewhere of so-and-so with this issue that lost that battle. But she didn't. She didn't put her faith in the hands of man. Her faith was in the hand of God. If it were His will, she would be healed. And it was. And she was healed. She was able to claim victory over that which had afflicted her and oppressed her for so long. Is that any different for us tonight? Is it any different for us that whatever it is, the storms of life that we're in the parts of, that we're in the midst of, is it any different for us? Folks, belief is not enough. Where do we have our faith? If we have faith in the loving and holy hand of God, and we are serving Him and searching out His will for us, what is right will happen. Does that mean it'll be easy? No. Does it mean we will have our way with the direction that we think we need to go? Not necessarily. What we need to understand is that if it is according to God's will, it is what's right for us. Whether we know that or not, that is where our faith comes into play. What rough waters and storms are you sailing through tonight? Are you having problems at home? Problems at work? Whatever the issue might be, look to God's Word. Seek out His will for you. Because His will is real. It's right. And it's truth. With God's will and faith in Him, He can still the turbulent waters we're in. He can give us victory over that which punishes us day in and day out. Faith in God and desire to follow His will is what calms the storms of life. Whether you have been a child of God for 50 plus years, following the letter of His law, following His command at every step, life is still difficult. There are still rough waters that we must cross. We have His love. We have His Word. And we have His promise that His will for us is to join Him in heaven. What is our will tonight? If it is our desire to join Him in heaven, we must have faith that He will see us through. Maybe you're at a point in your life now where you have understood the meaning of God, but you've never put Him on in baptism. You've never taken that step to put Christ on and to begin living your life according to God's will. Why not? Are you putting your faith in the hands of man? Or is it time for you to put your faith in the hand of God? There's only one that can steer you through the storms and all of the paths of life to be successful. We'll be successful in this life, but to gain a hope in heaven. That's the success. That's the victory. That's the goal. If there's something tonight that we can help you with, spiritually, to help you align yourself back up with God and His will for you, I invite you to make that known. Don't leave tonight with that burden on your mind or on your heart. Where is your faith tonight? Put your faith in God. Reach out to Him and He will guide you through the way. If there's anything we can help you with, I invite you to come. Do so now as we stand and we sing this hymn of encouragement.